Good morning. It's good to see everybody today, and it's really good to be here. If you can, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, that's where our lesson will come from today. So we run through our Bibles, we see Colossians, of course, is written around 64 or so A.D. It was written when Paul was in prison, and the focus of the book is on Christ. It's a companion in the New Testament to Ephesians. Ephesians focuses on the church of Christ. Colossians focuses on the Christ of the church. And as you run through the book of Colossians, you see how Paul constantly puts up Christ and talks about how important he is. In chapter 1 and verse 15, we see the preeminence of Christ, how he is the express image of his person. So we look in chapter 2, we see how we are to have a life, an urgency of knowing Christ. As you look there in chapter 2 and verse 5 through 7, you read about the walk that we have to have in Christ. So you look in chapter 3, you see the life that we have to live in Christ. How beginning in verse 5, we have to, the old translations call it mortify. We have to put to death our old members and live completely for Christ. But this morning I want us to look in chapter 4, where we read about the servants of Christ. And I want us to talk about friendship. Friendship is something pretty important, isn't it? And as you and I look back at our lives, we think of good friends, which we've had in the past. Been out of college a while, maybe a little longer than I want to admit anymore. But I still call my roommates from school. And Facebook's a wonderful thing because you get to meet all these people from high school and remember those folks way back when and be thankful that you moved away. Are you ever that way? Friends are important. And as you and I read through our Bibles, we see how important friendship can be. The passage which was read earlier, Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself first be friendly. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning verse 9 through 12, reminds us that two are better than one, because if one walks along and he falls, he has another one to keep him up. If one becomes cold, he has another one to help keep him warm. It's important for us to be together. A cord which has many strands is very difficult to break. We see in Proverbs 27:17, where as iron sharpens iron, so one brother can sharpen another brother. We're social creatures, and it's important for us to be around people who encourage us and help us and help us to be closer and better of what we ought to be. And that's one of the main reasons for the church. Yes, of course, in the church, we are to glorify God and place him where he belongs. Instead of worshiping the creature, we are to worship the Creator. Yes, in the church, we are to behave and act and worship correctly. But another reason for the church is to encourage friendship, for us to be together. Hebrews 10:24-25 reminds us, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, lift up one another daily, so much more so as you see that day that's approaching. As you and I read in Colossians, as I mentioned before, Paul's in prison. And here's this man who has had a difficult time. He's sitting here, very possible he could lose his life. And yet we read through Colossians 4, a lot of people who are his friends, and a lot of people who are there with him. And what I want us to notice as we look through some of these folks, and some of these folks are mentioned only here in the New Testament, is I want us to notice how even Paul needed friends. Here's a man who was an apostle, who wrote almost half of the New Testament, a man who planted churches throughout the known world that day, but he needed friends. You and I as well need to develop Christian friendship. You and I as well need to have people here who are members of the church who encourage us and help us and lead us along in the right way. In many ways, it can be said, our friendships define who we are. If we choose the wrong friends, it can be difficult to live the way that we should. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 reminds us that evil companionship corrupts good morals. And so it's necessary, it's important for us to develop the right friendships. It's necessary and important for us to meet people who will help us to be better, who will encourage us to live the way that we should, and will lift us along whenever we begin to flag behind a little bit. And so that's what I want us to notice today as we look here in Colossians 4, and we're going to use an acrostic, because I'm a preacher and that's what I like to do. We're going to use the word friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. And each friend that we look at in Colossians 4 is going to describe what you and I can do in order to develop better friendships. What you and I can do in order to be a better friend and to grow closer to God. So we look at the word F. I want us to think about the word forgiveness. You see, first of all, as we look at the idea of forgiveness, we see John Mark. And John Mark, of course, is mentioned here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. And you're probably very well aware of the history of John Mark throughout the Bible. And John Mark was a very important person because we see the idea of forgiveness throughout his life. As we look over in the book of Acts, we see over in Acts 13:13, where he's on the first missionary journey and he goes home. As Paul and Barnabas begin thinking about a second missionary journey, and as they begin to think about who needs to go, Paul decides, we're not taking John Mark again because he abandoned us. Barnabas, being the son of encouragement, says, oh yes, we need to take him. We need to give him a second chance. And because of that, Paul and Barnabas divide sharply. There's a sharp contention there, and they go off in their own ways. Barnabas takes John Mark to John Marcus from and kind of rehabilitates him and helps him do better. Paul takes Silas, and he goes with him and takes him on the second missionary journey and ends up going all the way over into Europe. And so they both work for the Lord, but we see that there is a very difficult contention which is there, and a very difficult fight. But as we look here in Colossians 4:10, we see about 8 years afterwards that John Mark once again is with Paul. Something has happened, hasn't it? And as we look later, we see over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, where Paul is, as he's writing his goodbye letter, he says, John Mark is useful for me in the ministry. What I want us to notice as we look at all those passages is the importance of forgiveness. Because if you cannot forgive, you can't have friends. If I can't forgive, I can't have friends. Because each and every one of us, no matter how hard we try, no matter how good we are, we're going to fall short. And we're not going to be what we need to be all the time. That happens in marriages sometimes, doesn't it? In a marriage, do you need to learn how to forgive? Oh, you sure do, don't you? How about with children? You have to learn to forgive children, don't you? And sometimes children have to learn to forgive parents as well. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, Peter came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? I'm willing to forgive him 70 times 7. Or I'm willing to forgive him 7 times, excuse me. And Jesus says, not just 7 times, but 70 times 70 times. 70 times 7. 490 is what I'm trying to say. And so he tells a parable about the unforgiving servant and about how the man who was unwilling to forgive was unforgivable. And Jesus says, so also, if you refuse to forgive those who sin against you, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. Jesus says the same thing over in the Sermon on the Mount when we look there in Matthew 6:14, where he says, as you forgive others, so also your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. Now think about that. If somebody wrongs you once, you may forgive them. If somebody wrongs you 2 times, you know, you might be gracious and forgive them. What if they do it 3 or 4 or 5 times to you? Well, you're not going to forgive them for all those, are you? Let's bring that to our spiritual relationship with God. And let's just say over this last week, God said, okay, you're allowed to sin twice. Maybe some of it. What about next week, though? How often do we need God to forgive us? And God reminds us that our forgiving of other people needs to reflect the grace and the mercy that he shows to us. And so as you and I think about friendships, and as you and I think about kindness to other people, remember that the way we treat other people, I want us to think of the word responsible. And here we see the companion letter that came with the letter of Colossians, and that's Philemon. And as you and I read, the book of Philemon, which tells us about a fellow named Onesimus. And you'll notice there in chapter 4 and verse 9, Onesimus is called brother, one who is one of us. And you'll recall as we look over in the book of Philemon what the background of Onesimus was. As Paul was working in Rome, here comes a slave, and the slave obeys the gospel. He listens to Paul, and he decides to become a New Testament Christian. Well, we all know the Acts of the plan of salvation, don't we? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and baptized. What does it mean to repent if you're a slave that's run away? It means you have to go back and make those things right. Now think about that. If you are a slave who has gotten away and has finally experienced some form of freedom, you're able to cover the tattoo on your body that shows that you're a slave, and while you may not be rich, at least for the first time in your life perhaps, you can do what you want. But when he became a Christian, repentance means you have to go and make things right. And so Philemon came back, or Onesimus came back, and he determined to make things right with his owner, Philemon. And as we look in the book of Philemon, we see where Paul sends his letter, and he says in verse 10, remember, this man was begotten. He was born of Christ even while he was in his chains. And you see there in verse 16 of the book of Philemon, this man once was a slave to you, but now he's your brother. This man once was property to you, but now he's your brother in Christ. And Paul pleads with Philemon to make things right, to free Onesimus, and allow Onesimus once again to have his freedom so he can help serve Paul. But as you and I see this passage, I want us to see the importance of us being responsible. You see, we have to do things in the right way. A parallel of this would be over in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, as you and I look there at Archippus. And Archippus was a man who needed to take heed to his ministry. He needed to be obedient and faithful to Christ. You and I as well need to be responsible to God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we see how we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may see that which is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of the Father. As we continue along, we come to the letter I. And as we look at I want us to notice a man who is interested. Tychicus, as we look at him here, he is a man who is always interested in Paul. As a matter of fact, it looks like he's the fellow who's always carrying the letters from Paul to whoever the church is which needs to receive it. As we look at Tychicus, we see that he is the one who carried the letter of Colossians to the city of Colossae. As we look in Ephesians, we see in Ephesians 6:21, he carried the Ephesian letter to the church of Ephesus. As we look over in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 12, we see that he carried the letter of Titus to the island of Crete so that Titus could know what to do in order to set things in order, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. Tychicus was a man who was interested in trying to help Paul in his work. You know how you make people feel important? You know their names and you know everything about them. Which says bad things about me because I think I know about 15 of your names. But I'm going to get there. Every night I'm studying the directory. So don't change your hair color and don't lose any hair that's in the directory. Or I may never know who you are. Tychicus was a man who was interested in other people. And he was willing to do whatever he could to help Paul in his ministry. And if it meant going by boat, if it meant walking great distances, whatever it may be, interested. And if you and I also, we must also be interested in other people. So we continue along, we see the letter E, and that stands for this man named Justice, in verse 11. Paul says, this man is of great comfort to me. And now the word comfort is found only here in the New Testament. Usually it's parakaleo, which means to lay beside or to stand beside. This is paralegesis. It's not good when you try to speak Greek and you stutter. What that means is this man is good medicine to me. And what Paul is saying about Justice is this man is here and he is helping me. He is there knowing about me, caring about me, and encouraging me. And we all know just how good it feels to be encouraged. How good it feels when you're trying to do something right and you have somebody there who is helping you on the way. When you're trying to live the way you should and you have people who are cheering for you and helping you and trying to do what they can to make your way to be easier. Epaphras is another one who is an encourager in chapter 4 and verse 12 of Colossians. And it says, this man is fervently praying for you. He's thinking about you and he cares about you. How much are we encouragers of other people? I had an old preacher one time tell me that there's only two kind of people in the world. He said, you're either a puffer or a popper. And he said, imagine that everybody's a balloon. And people come up to you and they either puff you up and get you a little bigger, or they pop you and try to bring you down. And he said, the goal in life is try to get around as many puffers as you can. Now you got to be sure where you're at when you say that. But it's important for us to lift other people up. When you're in conversation with other people, do what you can to encourage them, to help them, to say good things about them. Don't always point out everything that's negative about somebody. Don't always point out what's wrong in life. Don't always make it about you. But be somebody who encourages and somebody who is there to help. So we look at the letter N, we see Aristarchus. And as you and I look at Aristarchus, we see how we need to be necessary. You see, Aristarchus was a fellow who was kind of tough to be around. Every time we read about him in the Bible, something's going wrong. You ever meet somebody like that? Every time somebody is around, or every time somebody, something goes wrong, you don't like that person anymore, don't you? Now, Aristarchus wasn't quite that way, but he was somebody who stayed with Paul through thick and thin. Here he is in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, and he's with Paul. And of course, where's Paul? Paul's in prison. So we look over in the book of Acts. We see in 1929, there's Aristarchus with Paul, and what's going on? They're in Ephesus, and there's a great riot, and they almost lose their lives. You look over in Acts chapter 27, and there's Aristarchus once again with Paul, and what's going on? They're in a shipwreck, and their boat is about to be lost. As you look at Aristarchus, every time he's with Paul, even when times are tough. We all know about the prodigal son in Luke 15, don't we? And as long as he had money, and as long as he had fame, what did he have? He had friends, didn't he? But when the money ran out, when the fame went out, when he had to start hiring himself to feed pigs, he found himself to be all alone. As you and I look at the friends who we want to gain, make sure they don't love you for anything but you. And when you begin to make friends with other people, don't make friends with people just because they're popular. Don't make friends with people just because they're wealthy. Don't make friends with people just because of what their occupation is. Love people for who they are. And recognize people for what they have and what they can do and the good that's about them. In Proverbs 17:17, we read about the closeness of a brother and how we need to encourage one another and help one another and be there in times of adversity. But as we close, I want us to look at the letter D. Now, letter D stands for dedication. As you and I read, people are together. Some are Gentiles. Luke is a physician. All these people from divergent, they together, it's because of Jesus. Look at ourselves. We see that we come from divergent backgrounds. And we have different personalities. We have different hobbies. I think there's probably some, maybe Vanderbilt. But for the most part, we're different, aren't we? But we're together in Christ. And that's dedicated himself to us. Romans chapter 5, and look there at verse 8. We see the love which God has for us. Beginning about two verses earlier, we see that God didn't die for the good. He didn't die for the righteous. But verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus isn't your friend because you're good. Because he loved you before you were good. Jesus isn't your friend because of what you can do or because of what you own, because he knew you even when you were in the womb. And he paid for your sins even before you were born. He's that dedicated to you and to me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. We read where he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that through the righteousness of God, we may as well be made to be righteous. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. All those passages together, and there are many more, show us one fact. Jesus loves you. As he nears the end of his book, Hebrews 13:5, the Lord himself has more forsaken. In whatever situation we might find ourselves in, whether we have a whole lot of friends, you have Jesus, and he's there for you. And whatever needs you may have, if you have everything in life you need and you feel like everything's great, or if you're in a pit of despair, there. He has determined that for each and every one of us, he will be a friend. So what is our response? God's word makes it simple and plain what we must do to be a New Testament Christian. Born into the kingdom physically, you don't inherit from your parents, but you must. Christianity is the word of God, Luke 8:11. Chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us faith being by the word of God. And as you and I study the word of God, we find out very quickly that we need to trust him. God took care of Noah through the flood. He kept Moses through the Red Sea, and he kept David against that. So also God will be with us. Learn to trust him and have faith. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. As we learn about God's word, and as we learn to trust him, we'll begin to change our lives to look more like him. The church word we use for that is repentance. And it means to change our life more like Christ. 30, as Paul was talking to those idolaters on Mars Hill, he said, truly these times of the past, God has overlooked. But now God calls all men everywhere to repent. As we're willing to confess the name of Christ, Matthew 10, for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. That baptism is to clothe us with Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. That baptism is to save us, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Is to wash away our sins. You have a friend who loves you. And that friend is Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross that you... The only thing that can stand between you and Christ is our actions, our attitude. But when we're obedient, Christ will be with us forever, and he will take care of us. The friendship that we have in Christ, starting to recognize the friendship we have here as a congregation. I'm so glad to be here, so glad to meet every one of your smiling faces, and I'm so glad you're all awake still. It's wonderful to be here, and we need to do everything we can to be a friendly congregation, because that reflects Christ as well. This morning, if you need to obey the gospel of Christ, or if you need the prayers of the church, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.